If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Listen to Jeremiah. God said, I got a question to ask you. First, he identified. God always identifies himself. And then he said, is there anything too hard for me? Lord, help me. He asked Jeremiah a question. Is there anything too hard for me? Impossible means it can't be done. Is there anything impossible to God? You think it is. Don't even sit there and lie. You think it is impossible. Listen to this. Every time you say, I can't afford to do, you're telling God it's impossible. In a few moments, we're going to receive the Lord's offering. And some of you are going to say, I can't afford to give. You're telling God it's impossible for me to give. And God, you're a liar. You will not give it back to me. So that's why I'm not giving to you. People say, oh, I'd like to give, but I can't afford. Then you're telling God that he's a liar. You're telling God he's a liar. Watch this. He says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Wow. Wow. Then he goes on to give some extra stuff. I'm not going to go into that right now, but he goes on to give some extra stuff trying to let us know that he's about to put the children of Israel in a difficult position. Notice the revelation of the difficult position comes after the identification of the power of God. In other words, God would not tell you about a difficult position if he hasn't revealed who he is. And the moment the difficult position comes for a believer, that should make you rejoice because it's validating what God told you about himself. You run into Christians who say, I'm praying and believing God for such and such, and I'm asking God, I'm telling God, Lord, I need another job. I want you to get me another job. And he's not answering. He is answering. He is answering. By allowing the conditions at the job to become increasingly difficult, he's answering you. He's telling you, get out. But you know the reason why you don't? Because you don't see anything else. And so God says, that's why I can't give you any more grace. You have used up all of your grace for that position. And it's going to get worse. Get out. Lord, where should I go? What should I do? God says, I'm not moving till you move. He only allows something to come to you that you're ready for. After all these years of praying for the doctor to sell us that his building, we get a phone call now going into our 30th year. We weren't ready before. Saints, listen to me. God didn't tell that man to call us so that we could acquire debt. Because we could have always acquired debt. He told him to call us while we're in the middle of a faith series so that we could pay cash for it. Because by now we believe that God is able. So today he says, you tell them there's nothing too hard for me. Now that's a question that's asked over here in 27. Now the answer is over here in verse 17. The answer comes before the question. Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. the painting of a vision that comes from God is accompanied by a pregnancy to move. In other words, when God wants to move you, he gives you a vision for that move, and then he gives you a pregnancy to do something. Now, this is where I hope to help you. He would not give you said vision or burden to do unless your faith was at the position to do it. He doesn't do that. Let me tell you how good. Watch. Jeremiah says, there is nothing too hard for God, but there are things that are hard for me. So faith, advancing faith, is more dependent on God. When you were first born again, your faith was in you. And so we would puncture our speech with the personal pronoun, I, me, my, I can't do it, I'm not feeling it, I don't understand. But as you grow in God, I is replaced by him. He knows the way that I take. He's the one that's in charge. He's ordering my steps. Even if God exposes you to something that is not right, and if you are not the person to make it right, you don't argue about it. You pray until God changes the heart. God doesn't call you to frustration. Faith and frustration don't mix. You should never be frustrated over what you cannot control. I don't know why Bishop made him a deacon. You don't need to know. Why are you frustrated that I made him a deacon? Because I don't think they should be. But you are not on the letterhead. You don't have to give an account to God for who sits on this front row. I do. Relax. Just come to church and love them. Let God fight them. You just love everybody, even those who do you wrong. Why? That's an act of faith. Ooh, glory. All right. I'm preaching myself happy. We can go home now. Listen, we can move in faith in a moment. We can move in faith. You listen. I don't know if I told you. I don't know where I was. But the story about the fleas in the jar, did I tell y'all? Okay, then I don't have to repeat it. And so faith helps you see that there's no limit. Listen carefully. If you are living beneath your privilege, it's because you want to. You're like the fleas in the jar. As long as the lid was on, you kept bumping into the lid. And then when they took the lid off, you didn't fly out because you thought the lid was still there. You allowed your culture and your social upbringing, your family concepts to keep you from being great. And God did not save you to stay in an impoverished state or remain melancholy in your dealings. If that were true, he would not have given us Deuteronomy 28. He said, I'm making you the head and not the tail, the top and not the bottom. I'm taking you off welfare so that you will have the ability to lend and not need to borrow. I'm pushing you to a place. Do you know it's a slap in God's face when his child is dependent upon another human to meet their needs? And the reason you can't bust out is because you have no faith. You're afraid to say, I'll tell you what, just don't do it now. Let's see what God does. That's why God said, just try it. Just go for it. Just go for it. Just one time. Tell that person, I tell you what, don't do this for me now. And let God do it. I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm not talking about your job, because the Bible said the workman is worthy of their hire, and you're working for that. I'm talking about somebody who's doing something for you. Go to them this week and say, you know what? I thank you for what you've done, but I don't need your help anymore. I learned Sunday to put my faith in God. God's going to take up this situation. He's going to take it. Now, I know your flesh may have a little anxiety, but faith is the substance of what you hope for. It is the evidence of what you don't see. So don't, listen. Let me show you. You with me? You with me? All right. Go on back. All right, let me give you two scriptures real quick. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, because I don't want to preach it too long, because I want to give you just enough to work with. See, because there has to be a reason that the children of God are still broke. When God promised you that you would have the ability to lend. How many people, don't raise your hand, but how many of us in here have the ability to lend? Mm-hmm. Just a few. Probably less. Then how many of you have the ability to borrow? Now, if we believe that sin brought about poverty, then why are you still impoverished? Why are you living paycheck to paycheck? Why do you say, well, I can't even afford to get my nails did? Shenane. Why? Because you create that world every time you say you can't afford it. Every time you say, I can't afford it, you take God and put him in a controllable place. You're saying to him that you can't do greater than what I see. And my life is limited to my paycheck. So therefore, you can't stretch it. Now, y'all been with me for a while now, and we've been dealing with this for a while. So I'm going to stretch now, right? If you take a second job to meet your regular needs, you're telling God he can't supply for you. Or you're telling him that in my presumption, I stepped out your will. That's what you're saying. Now, I'm not saying it's sin. You ain't going to hell. But that's why you wore out and can't do anything for the Lord, can't come to church regularly, can't do anything else. Because like Haggai says, the reason that you're suffering financially is because you misappropriate God's money. And God said, what I'm going to do is blow on it. And when you think you have enough, you won't, because you've been ignoring my house. That's what he says in his word. You've been ignoring my house, so he's blowing on your money. Now, I know you're sitting there and saying, well, you know, Pastor, I would do it if I could, but I just can't right now. Well, you didn't do what you did by faith. You did it by presumption. You assumed that God would bail you out of a poor financial decision. I don't know how many people think the Lord is telling them to move, and then they move, can't find a church, can't find a decent place to live. They move because God told them to move, but their life's a mess after they move. God didn't tell you to move. People come to me, I can't stand this cold weather no more. I'm moving to Arizona. They don't like us in Arizona. The Bible said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. They don't even have Dr. King Day off. Why God going to send you someplace? Let me move off of them. God sending me to Arizona where it's warm. It's warm here 9 months out of the year. Malachi chapter or Hebrews chapter 11. Mess around made me mad. Lying on God. God told me to marry you, and we get married by faith, and it's the worst person that you could be with. And then you want counseling. Why do you want counseling when God told you to marry him? What kind of counsel can I give you if God told you to marry them? He knew they were neurotic. He knew they were psychotic. Why would God tell you to marry them? I'm the pastor. This is pastoral teaching. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 11. I love this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. You with me? Listen carefully. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, the writer to the Hebrews takes a literary license that really is not specifically taught in the Word of God. Maybe through historical context, maybe through the genius of passing on the story, he has drawn the conclusion that she has judged him faithful who had promised. Because Genesis chapter 18 says that when the three visitors came, one of them being the Lord Jesus, in what we call a Christophany, a pre-incarnate visitation from the Lord. And the way you know that is later on when he's calling down fire, the Bible says the Lord on the earth was calling down fire from the Lord in heaven. Two Lords, one verse. So the Son was on the planet calling fire from the Father. It's one of the clearest references of the different manifestations of the Godhead. There's only one God. There's not three gods. There's one God who has lovingly chosen to reveal himself in three distinct personalities for specific reasons. Then it says in this particular passage of Genesis 18, it says, so when they came over to talk to Abraham, his name now has been changed. He is now Abraham. That happened earlier on, okay, because he and God are going back and forth with this promise of a seed, and Abraham is getting progressively older, and his reproductive ability, while still there, he's recognizing that my wife may not be able to fulfill this, and he makes reference of that in a couple of occasions. And so now this messenger comes. And for the first time, the messenger needs to deal with the carrier of the promise. Up until now, he's dealt with the father of the promise. He's promised Abram, then Abraham. But for the first time, he's going to specifically deal with the carrier of said promise. Then, on top of that, because she is the one who will carry this thing, she is given a specific time, because the need for the specific time is given to Sarah and not Abram. Abram never wanted a specific time. He just wanted to know how. Now, he says to him in verse 9, where is Sarah, thy wife? And Abraham says, she's in the tent. Because women knew they weren't supposed to get in men's business. Back then, it was a cultural thing. That's not our culture. She was in the tent. And this is what the Lord says. I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. In other words, 9 months is the time of life. So 9 months from this day, I'll be back. 9 months from this day, I'll be back. And listen to what he says. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Before, he was just telling Abraham, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. He was dealing with the promise, the person of promise, to build up his faith. Now, he's going to deal with the person who has to carry the faith. So let's make this 21st century. God comes to you on a regular basis and says, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a job. And every time you go to get a job, you get turned down. I'm going to give you a job. send out 6,742 resumes, and they all come back negative. I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a job. And you say, you get to the point where you say, God, you've been promising me this job for 25 years, and it hasn't come to pass. This is the next thing you have to listen to. When God says, I've already touched them. The moment he touches the person who is responsible to bring that promise, you can stop sweating. Because then he just told you it's a sure thing. Up until then, he was building your faith. He was just telling you, I'm going to do it. He had not yet touched the person who was going to hire you. So you should never worry until you hear him say, now I've touched so-and-so, go over there and apply. This is what he does. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham, your children are going to be like the stars of the sky. Abraham, your children are going to be like the sands by the seashore. Abraham, your house is going to give birth to a lot of children. Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Now, Sarah is going to have a child in 9 months. I've been telling you this now for over 25 years. Now it's time for you to move forward. But you see, you must understand, why was this necessary? When God called Abraham, he was Abram. And God said, come go to the land that I'm going to show you. And God showed him Canaan. God showed him Canaan. And Abraham went to Egypt because there was a famine in Canaan. So he went to where the food was and ignored the promise. How many times do we take a job based on the salary and not the will of God? We go into Egypt because the person we want to marry, we can marry Pee Wee Herman, Sheldon, or Pretty Ricky. We choose Pretty Ricky, but you didn't know Pretty Ricky had work that's going to decay over a few years. Sheldon going to make you rich. That's a whole different congregation. Y'all couldn't get that. And so God says, understand, I need you to go to Canaan. Abraham did not trust God. He went down into Egypt. While he's in Egypt, he recognizes how fine his wife is. And he began to postulate the theory that the king of Egypt is going to take my wife and make her one of his. So he said, baby, listen, they're going to kill me and take you. So when they come to you to ask about our relationship, tell them you're my sister. Now, he's partially right because they were half brothers and sisters. But she goes along with the lie. Why? Because he needs to protect his wife. Well, he wouldn't have had to do that if he had gone where God told him to go. Lord, help me. There are times when God causes you to be fed up with something, right? And you want to leave it. That's the Lord telling you, get out of it. Move on now. I have something better. But you hold on to it because you're comfortable. You're comfortable with it. You don't want to leave. Abraham was comfortable in Egypt when he was called to Canaan. His homeland was Canaan. His children were to be birthed in Canaan. He went to Egypt. The Lord intervened and told that king, if you touch her, I'm going to kill you. He came back to Abraham and said, what have you done to me? Abraham said, what do you mean? He said, why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Abraham said, how you know? God will do what's necessary to build your faith and get you back in line. Amen. So Abraham had to leave. They threw him out. See, people of doubt bring a curse to you. All right, let me move on. Let me move on. So Sarah has been told all these years that God has promised us a child. God has promised us a child. God has promised us a child. She's been told all these years that God has promised us a child. God has promised us a child. God has promised us a child. We get to chapter 16. She says, I'm tired of hearing it. Go take Hagar. She's good looking. She's got full hips. That means she's fertile. Let her give you a child. In other words, I don't want to walk in your promise anymore. It is nerve-wracking, and I'm tired of you wearing me out. I am not going to get pregnant. Stop it and go get this girl. He goes over. He impregnates Hagar. So there's nothing wrong with Abraham. He can get the job done. Nothing wrong with him. There is an impediment in the reproductive system of Sarah. But God makes a promise to the one with the problem. You see, we look for perfection in people when God sends problem people in our lives that enable us to go to the next level. So stop fighting. I'll teach you how to receive problem people. There's a season to receive a problem person. But once they fulfill their purpose, move on. Jesus allowed Pilate to harass him for a little while because he needed Pilate to help him get to the cross. But when Pilate was done, history says that he went nuts, washing his hands 50 times a day, saying, I betrayed innocent blood. See, you can't mess with God's people and try to stop their position in God and keep them from accomplishing their will without something coming back. Jesus used Judas long enough so that Judas could know his routine so he could go back and betray him. But after he was through with him, Judas hung himself. And the Bible said after he hung himself, his bowels bust out. God will raise somebody up according to the Old Testament to harass you. And once he's gotten what he needs to get out of you, he'll deal with the harasser. Scripture is clear that God would get the Philistines who weren't paying the children of Israel no mind. And he'd tell them, go over and bother them. And once they bother them, the children of Israel would repent and humble themselves. And then God would judge the Philistines. And they would sit over there saying, we wasn't even bothering them. We didn't even know they were there. Why? Because it says that the anointing destroys the yoke. He said, I'm going to move this thing from off your neck. So you ought to have faith that the irritant that you have today will not be there forever. And you ought to rejoice in expectation because faith is the substance of what I hope for. Glory! Well, I'm feeling God now. Listen, he said, woo! He said, by this time, according to the time of life, how long it takes to have a baby, he said, your wife shall have a son. This was long before sonograms. Long before gel and machines. Long before people from Mississippi say you got hair on your legs, you're having a son. He just spoke it out of his mouth. You having a son by this time in 9 months, you're going to have a son. Woo! Glory to God. I wish I had a church that could go with me right now. Listen to this. He said, and Sarah heard it in the tent door. Now watch. This is going to be the good part. This is the good part. She heard it. But she wasn't supposed to. Because if you look at the text, it said that Jesus asked Abraham, where's your wife? I'm about to tell you something. But I don't want to tell it to you in front of her. Because she don't have faith to receive it. So I can't tell it to her. So where is she? He said, she in the tent. Good. Let me tell you what's about to happen. But she went to the tent door. Listening in grown folk business. You see, there are times when we connect with someone whose faith is greater than ours. and they see what we don't see. And it frustrates us because you want to pull them back into a form of doubt bondage, but they're moving on in faith. And it's frustrating to you when your faith can't catch up with theirs. So watch what she does. Rather than say, oh, that's great, praise Jehovah, she laughs. She laughs and says, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Can we still come together? Not only, she's not ovulating anymore. She's not able to provide the ability for Abraham to even be with her intimately. She's past menopause. She's done. She says, shall I have a child waxed old? And Abraham, old as well. Testosterone levels are dropping. She knows that it's not as simple as it used to be. But notice. I wish I had some dancers. Notice. The Lord asked Abraham, where's Sarah? He tells Abraham, she's going to have a child. She hears it. She laughs. He responds to Abraham in verse 13. Why did Sarah laugh? Abraham didn't even know it. God doesn't talk to people who don't move in faith. He went right to Abraham. Why Sarah laughed? You better go handle your business. I made you a promise. Don't you let her keep you from your promise. We have people in our lives whose short-sightedness keeps us from where God wants to take us. They are laughing at our promise, lying about our promise, debating about our promises. But I say to you, Abrahams, believe God and walk in your promise. I made up my mind. I am no longer going to entertain the doubt and complaining of those who can't see what I don't see. I will remove them from the leadership of this ministry because they are keeping us from going to the next level. The day of babysitting is over. I need people who can get pregnant at 90 years old. People who won't laugh when God wants to reproduce us. People who will stop questioning why God sends a Judas to betray us, a Pilate to crucify us, and a Peter to deny us. Church can't go forward if we're full of Sarahs that laugh. People who look at the crowd and say, oh, the people don't come out like they used to. I don't say that. This is my vision. Empty seats for new feats. And God is sending in new feats for the empty seats. So don't come if you don't want to. If Bethel ain't for you, don't come. Leave that seat for the person that's bound by crack, who's looking for a savior to set them free. Leave that seat for somebody who will stand with the pastor and not criticize and find fault in everything they do. Leave that seat for somebody who will respond to praise and not be too deep to give God a hearty hand clap. The walls of Jericho didn't come down from bougie people. It came down when they gave a shout. And Bethel, I'm telling you, we are at the seventh day. We've had our 6 days of silence. Now faith says, shout it out and bring it down. Watch this. When God wanted to do something significant, he would ask the priest and the leaders, are you hearing me? When Joshua was crossing over the Jordan to get to the new land, the Bible said the priest picked up, they picked up the Ark of the Covenant and put it on their shoulders, the leaders. And when they stepped into the waters backed up. This is the dispensation of God wanting his leaders to step out and be examples. Not to be whining and babies, but to be faithful ark carriers. That means that they picked up the presence of God and stepped in the water. And when they stepped in the water backed up. The miracles start with the leadership. The praise and the prayer starts with the leadership. The attendance in church starts with the leadership. The leaders ought to be present at every service. The leaders ought to be present whenever there's prayer. How will the Red Sea back up? How will the Jordan back up if the leaders don't step in first? So he goes to Abraham, just like he comes to me as the leader of the church. And he said, why you let them talk to you like that? I said, God, you know, I got to be loving. I got to be patient. I got to be kind. So he sends me over to Proverbs 22. And Proverbs 22, I think is, let me read it to you. I guess he got tired of me complaining about stuff. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Throw out the scorner. They're hindering the faith. God, why can't we get this done? Too many scorners. Too many rebel rousers. Cast them out. And contention will go. People get along better when they're not there. And where there's unity, God commands. When God finds unity, he commands a blessing. Come on, Bethel. Don't wimp out on me now. I'm going to need the lamb and the sheep. He asked Abraham the same question in verse 14. Is anything too hard for God? Watch this now. She's still listening. He says to Abraham, at the time appointed, I will return unto you. According to the time of life, in 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. If you notice, there's no requirement from Abraham. He doesn't say, if you do this or if you do that. He says, I'm coming back in 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. Watch. Then Sarah denied. She lied. She said, I ain't laugh. Because the Bible says she was afraid and fear makes you lie. Fear makes you say, I love you, Pastor. It said, for she was afraid. And he said to her, no, but you did laugh. Now, what was she laughing about? She was laughing not at the promise, but she was laughing at what she deemed to be impossible. She looked at her circumstances and she said, there's no way this could happen. But my brothers and sisters of Bethel Deliverance International Church on the 16th of October 2016, God sets up the impossible to show you there's nothing impossible for him.
I wish I had some people that could see this. When you run into the impossible. Y'all don't. Let me share a testimony with you real quick. I had to go get some test results last year from one of the doctors I see. And that morning, I had a little angst about the results, but I was standing on the word of God. And that morning, the Spirit of God woke me up, and he says, all right, you're going down there to get your test results today. He said, put on your civic wear and put on your red shirt and your gold cross. I said, Father, I'm only going down to get test results. He said, no, 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 I want you to dress like the bishop you are. I dressed up and went down there. It didn't matter what anything was said. I knew I had victory because God said, dress like you have victory. And I got victory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh. Whenever you're confronted by an impossibility, go into praise and put on Jesus. Put on Jesus before you go to the doctor. Put on Jesus before you go to the job interview. Put on Jesus and watch him make a way. Dress for success. The difficulty of the situation should let you know that God's about to move. Because if it was easy, there'd be no need for him to move. If it's something you could handle, then you wouldn't need him. If the situation is out of your sphere of control, start rejoicing. God's about to show up. There's no reason for him to show up if you can handle it. So rather than cry about it, go into praise because God's about to show up. When you're locked in a prison, go to praising him. He's about to get you out. When you're in a fiery furnace, go to praising him. He's about to join it with you. When you find yourself in the lion's den, praise him. He's about to shut the mouths of the lions. God would not let something happen if he's not going to shut. Up.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10316P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Dunamis Explosion. Join Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Bethel Deliverance International Church family for the final Friday Night Explosion Service 2016. It takes place on Friday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. will bring forth a powerful message from the Word of God. You don't want to miss this message. Make your plans to be with us for this final Friday Night Explosion service of 2016. December 2nd, 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. We'll see you there.